strength and encouragement. You know, that's he's actually applying what I'm going to be talking about this morning. And so I appreciate those words of encouragement, brother. Before we get into the Word of God this morning, and which I'm really looking forward to, I wanted to sing a song for you before that. This morning in our Lord's Supper, there were so many great things that were shared. And one of the things I really appreciated was, it's not a service of mourning, as many mentioned. It's a service of celebration, which I completely agree with, and I think that's an important thing. But one thing I wanted to add to that is that it's also important that we not forget where we came from, that we do not forget what we've been saved from, which is ourselves. It's great to celebrate what Christ did for us, but it's also important not to forget. Not to forget what he saved us from. Not to forget what we were before we were in Christ Jesus. We were lost. You know, we were headed to a lost eternity, and he saved us. So let's not forget that principle as well. It's great to celebrate what Christ did for us, but it's also important to remember what he saved us from. So that's what this song is about. It's a declaration of what Christ has done for us. And, you know, praise the Lord for that. So. That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. That the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you told me who I am. I am yours. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow.
tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours, I am yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? 'Cause I'm yours.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love. And Lord God, we are just here this morning just to praise you. We know in the scriptures it says that even the greatest works that we've done are considered filthy rags in the sight of God. But God is so amazing in his love and his mercy for us that even though we don't deserve this great love, he still gave it to us. And this morning we celebrated that. This morning we celebrated Christ, not ourselves, not what we could do, not who we are, because there's nothing that man can do to redeem themselves. It was only Christ himself that went to that cross for us. And that's what we are celebrating this morning, a Savior who, regardless of what we deserve, still went to that cross and still faithfully died for us and gave us hope and gave us eternal life. And that's what we celebrated this morning. A life that we can live for the rest of eternity with Jesus because of what he did on the cross. And Father, this morning, help us not to forget. Help us to remember that, Father. And we pray that this song that was just sung would remind us of those important things, that what you saved us from, ourselves. And now we are your children. We were completely transformed from enemies now to children of God because of Jesus and what he did at the cross and the amazing things that he's doing. And Father, we're thankful that we can serve you. And this morning, as we go into your word to look at the life of the journey that the Apostle Paul took on his third missionary journey, Lord, we're just excited that we can sit back and we can look at what you did through him and many others in the book of Acts, Father. And we just rejoice for these great things that we can read this morning. We thank you for the privilege of the Word of God. And we pray, God, this morning that we would rejoice in your precious Word. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be here with all of you this morning. This morning we're going to be looking at an adventure that the Apostle Paul had. It was an adventure that wasn't all positive. There were many challenges, many obstacles that he came across. And as I was thinking about, you know, this morning, what we're going to talk about, we also had a pretty amazing adventure this summer, haven't we, here at Fifth Avenue? You know, we had a great vacation Bible school. I think Joey preached the gospel to how many parents? Probably over 20 parents. You know, 60 to 70 kids heard the gospel in a matter of a week. Ocean Grove outreaches, people hearing the gospel on the pavilion. Different opportunities in the summer. So many great things that look forward in the summer, and it's such a joy. So as we think about the adventures that Paul went through, we also went through our own adventures. We're about to have another adventure August 21st to the 24th at Red Bank. Please pray for us for that ministry opportunity. We've also been a part of an adventure for Lisa and Ricardo. I want to also share something about them too this morning. I just want to praise God this morning because we found out yesterday that Lisa and Ricardo now have a visa for 2 years in Colombia. How awesome is that? God is faithful always, isn't he? And thank you. And, you know, this morning I want to start off just saying that I'm so thankful for our assembly. I'm so thankful for all of you. I praise God for all of you just for the support and encouragement you've been to them. And every time we talk to them, they always tell us, please tell the chapel family, please tell everyone at Fifth Avenue that God used them mightily to help us in the trials that we were facing in Venezuela. So thank you. You know, on behalf of the Mendieta family, Lisbeth and I, on behalf of Lisette, Ricardo, and little Ana Lucia, we want to say thank you for all of that. So many adventures, right? And we still have a lot of adventure left to go, don't we? Right? We have a great, you know, it's this, how many of you thank God for the opportunities to serve God? How many of you understand how much of an honor that is? You know, it's greater than any job. It's greater than any position. You can have the greatest position even in the White House, and that doesn't even come close to comparison to the honor and joy that we have to serve God. How many of you agree with me with that this morning? Do you agree? Do you count it a joy and an honor to be a Sunday school teacher, to be, you know, on staff at CMML or doing VBS or, you know, all these things are such an honor to serve God. And I forget that all the time. And this, you know, as I was studying Acts chapter 18 to verse 20, I just saw the desire and the joy that the Apostle Paul really enjoyed serving God. This was a man that served the Lord 24 hours, 7 days a week, just like McDonald's. McDonald's is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Paul was doing the same thing. He was on duty for the Lord. He was working for the Lord. And I, you know, for me, every time I read the book of Acts, I'm inspired. It's impossible not to be inspired. After you read the book of Acts, after you see the hardships that the brothers and sisters do for the glory of God. So this morning we're going to be looking at the P's of Paul's third missionary journey. And Paul was a man of encouragement. He was a man that traveled. He was a man that did many things for the Lord. I think, you know, you can relate to this, Julie. You know, Paul, he walked a lot. You know, he was a marathoner, just like you. You know, look at this map here, right here. I forgot to use this. There we go. See? This is just one of Paul's missionary journeys. Paul was a marathoner for Christ. How does that sound? You know, that he didn't have, you know, the greatest sneakers that we have, you know. He didn't have all the different, you know, equipment that marathoners have today. Paul, he had his sandals, he put them on his feet, he put on his clothing, he was ready. He was ready for the gospel, and he was, you know, he traveled. And this is just one of his journeys. If you go look at other journeys that he had, you know, he just spent a lot of time in ministry. And I want to open up with a short video, and I think, Jim, you got it, that kind of outlines a little bit of his journey. And also, it mentions how many miles he walked. I'm not sure if it's 100% accurate, but it could be close. But I wanted to show this video. Paul was a marathoner, man. He was serving the Lord. And so the P's we're going to look at this morning, Paul's many characteristics. He was a man of God that paved the way for ministry. A man of God of great preparation. He was a man of genuine, unique patience. He was a man that believed in the power of the Word of God and prayer. And he was a man that had such a deep and serious passion for the lost and believers. You know, Paul had a lot of great characteristics that we can follow. You know, it's amazing that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to say in the Scriptures, "Imitate me because I imitate Christ." That's a pretty amazing statement to make, isn't it? I can't do that. I can't tell you this morning, "Imitate Diego because I imitate Christ," because there's a lot of things in my life I know that is not worthy of imitating. I'll be the first to confess that this morning. But you know, Paul, you know, he had the authority, and the Scriptures were very clear. He said, "Imitate me because I imitate Christ." Paul was living a life of example. And this morning, as I was, you know, studying this portion of Scripture, it just reminded me of and inspired me to continue to walk with the Lord and to continue to serve Him. And so that's something that I've been praying about more. There we go. So here's the first portion that we're going to be looking at this morning. If we can turn to our Bibles to Acts chapter 18, we're going to be looking at verses 22 to 28. You can look on the screen as well. I have the verses up here as well. And you could also look into your Bibles. But let's read this together, and I have a lot of comments to make. And before this, you can read even a chapter behind on how he meets different believers, Aquila and Priscilla. And so here we see that the heart that Paul had to work with these individuals, and we can see the effects of that ministry. So let's read this together. The first P, paving the way of a new work in Ephesus. And I think Joey talked about this one evening, a little bit about Ephesus, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit this morning as well. But starting in verse 22, let's read this together. "And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over to the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order to strengthen all the disciples." One of the first things I want to talk about before going into even more of the Scriptures, here we see the Apostle Paul was always active. He was always encouraging. And Greg just did that with me just now. His words of encouragement really meant a lot to me. How many of us here this morning, enjoy being strengthened by one another. How many of you enjoy that? This, I hope it's everyone. You know what? Not because you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to do an activity with all of you this morning. All right, you ready for this? Everyone, I want you to stand up for 2 minutes. I want you to walk to another person here today, and I want you to say something encouraging to them. Let's put to practice right now what the Apostle Paul did in the churches. You ready? Everyone stand up. Let's do it. I know we normally don't do this, but you know I want to do it with you. Let's stand up. Go to somebody right now and give them a word of encouragement. Hug them. Give them a kiss on the cheek and tell them something that you appreciate about them. Let's do it. Say some words of encouragement. Even something in ministry, acknowledge something about them that you enjoy. Jeremy, come here. We might be here 10 minutes now.
Hey, your hair looks good today. Your hair looks good today.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Love you, man. I appreciate all you do, Paul. Oh, this is great. How good did that feel? How was that? Isn't that a great thing to do? You know, encouragement is so contagious. You know, it's a blessing. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, when he became a Christian, when he became a believer in the Lord Jesus, did he get, you know, he struggled to get encouragement right away from all the believers. Remember that? Remember the believers didn't believe if he was a true follower of Christ? They were terrified, and they had all the reason to be terrified, right? It is a man that persecuted Christians. It was a man that found joy in beating Christians, putting them in jail, and Jesus transformed his life. You know, and he, when he became a believer in the Lord Jesus, there was one individual that stepped up and said, no, this man, he's the real deal. Barnabas. Remember, what was the name of Barnabas? What did it mean? Do you all remember? Son of encouragement. Yes. And actually, my first sermon I spoke here at Fifth Avenue on a Thursday night was the companions of the Apostle Paul. And one of them was, and I spoke on Barnabas. And I remember being in that library and Mr. Wilson sitting with me and helping me prepare for that message. He goes, Diego, remember, you know, this Barnabas is such an important person in the Bible. He was one of the individuals that loved the Apostle Paul, encouraged him and discipled him. He took him to do ministry for a year. Paul observed the life of Barnabas, and he was encouraged. We all need encouragement, don't we? It doesn't matter who you are, the elders of our assembly, you know, everyone needs encouragement. We all struggle in the life, don't we? We all have battles that we're all going through. Sometimes we don't like talking about it. But it's important as the church that we need to be transparent. You know, when someone comes up to you, say, brother, how you doing? Tell them how you're doing. Express, you know, we're the body of Christ. This is the place, this is the environment that we need to do that. And so this morning, you know, I want to encourage a bunch of you. I think we should be praising God for the ladies of this chapel, don't we? They do so much work. All the conferences, all the food. Men, how much do we enjoy the food of the women in our assembly? I feel like our chapel, we have such amazing cooks. You know, this morning I praise God for our Sunday school teachers. You know, Heather Viola, she loves my children. Just, you know, Julie, and all the people that put in the effort for the Sunday school. Praise God for our Sunday school teachers, amen? Praise the Lord for what they do. Praise God for Danielle and Craig, for the hardship and many of other people that put the, man, when I came to CVBS, I was blown away. I thought last year was amazing. I didn't think it could get any better, but it did. And I'm like, wow, like it just gets better and better. It's amazing. You know, praise God for the labor of those that serve God. And I just really want to put into application what the Apostle Paul did. It says here in verse 22, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch, and after he had spent some time there, he departed, went over to the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order to strengthen all the disciples. Paul was always looking for opportunities to encourage his brothers and sisters. What a great, great thing. Let's keep an encouragement to one another here at Fifth Avenue. And you guys have been such an encouragement to my family and I. You have no idea. You know, I praise God for this assembly. It's my other home, right? Isn't this our home? It's good to be here, right? And, you know, when I'm away on Sunday speaking to other places, we really miss it. I miss it. You know, we miss being here. And so every time we're here, we're excited. So let's keep reading. So Paul was a man of encouragement. He was passionate about encouragement. He was paving a way for a new work in Ephesus. And even though he couldn't be there, he encouraged others to take up responsibility in ministry. And I think that's important. When we're involved in ministry, let's get others ready. Let's get others prepared. And let's be bold and encouraging others to continue to serve God. So in verse 24, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. You see the title I put above that? The gospel wasn't being partially taught with Apollos. It's important when we're sharing the gospel ministry that we're sharing the full gospel. And here we see a man that was very well efficient in the scriptures, but he was missing something. He still didn't understand who Jesus was, what he did on the cross, and he didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. Here we see, once again, Paul being a man of preparation, a man of getting others ready to serve. He instructed Aquila and Priscilla to stay behind in Ephesus and to be on the watch out. We as believers, we need to be on the watch out. Everywhere we are, in our workplace, in our families, in every kind of environment that we're in our lives as we serve God. And Aquila, you know, if you want to look at a godly couple in Scripture, Priscilla and Aquila were a godly couple. Paul met them at Corinth, and they were tent makers, and you know, they had that commonality, and Paul spent time with them encouraging them, and they were on fire for the Lord as well. So we're not just looking at the example of the Apostle Paul. We're also going to be looking at the example of Priscilla and Aquila. And look at here. Here we see a man, Apollos, who he only knew the baptism of John. In verse 26, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogues, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him to the side and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So Paul was a man of preparation. Paul prepared those that he was involved with in ministry. Priscilla and Aquila knew the scriptures. They understood the gospel. They were able to clearly explain it to Apollos. And look what happened next. Apollos continued to serve God, and he went to Corinth, and he continued to serve God, and God did a great work. I was reading a commentary, and I was really amazed by what this one commentator said. This one commentator said, Apollos almost had the same type of influence in ministry that the Apostle Paul did. Isn't that something amazing? We don't hear too much about Apollos, but many commentators talk about the influence that he had. And he had a great influence in serving the Lord and being effective. Now that he understood the gospel more clearly. There's so many people around us, so many churches that are filled that don't understand the gospel completely. Many people call them Christians, and yet they don't even understand what that really means. You know, the other day, a couple months ago, I was at my second job. I work with two-to-one. A guy who's I love so much, who has autism, and I spent a lot of time with my coworkers. You know, it's a team of maybe 10 of us that work with this one student, and so we spend a lot of time together. You know, we have no choice. Sometimes I spend 8 hours. This week I spent probably 25 hours with the same guy at work. So we spend a lot of time together. And one day one of my coworkers told me, he goes, Diego, so I know you're a Christian. You know, I'm a Christian too. And I'm like, really? He's like, great. I didn't know that about you. Like, really? Like, yeah, I'm a Christian. And so I started asking him more deeper questions about, you know, what it meant to be a Christian. I ended up finding out 5 minutes after the conversation that, one, he didn't believe in a Genesis account. Two, he thought that a lot of the stories in the Bibles were fairy tales. And he just appreciated some of the nice things that Jesus said, you know. And so we were able to spend probably the next 2 hours of me just explaining to him, you know, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you can't just accept one part and reject another part. You need to believe in all of the scriptures. And so we, you know, it was a great conversation. So in the society that we live in, we need to be bold like Aquila and Priscilla. I don't know if that's my phone. I think that might be my phone. I'm sorry. That's my fault. Are you texting me, Lisbeth? No, I'm just kidding. Don't text in church. No, I'm just kidding. You know. So praise the Lord, you know, for that opportunity. But there's so many people that we know in our lives that claim to know Christ. But it's important that we have an attitude and we make the initiative like Priscilla and Aquila. They saw that Apollos was preaching this message that sounded good, but it wasn't complete. And so they took him to the side and they told him about the gospel. So the gospel wasn't being partially taught with Apollos. It wasn't being partially taught. Apostle Paul was very clear. He was very bold. He wasn't afraid to share his faith. You know, and it is scary sometimes for us to talk to people about our faith, you know. Many like this, you know, I love to share my faith, but I want to confess something to you this morning. Even before I go out to share my faith, I get nervous. I get scared, and I'm like, Lord, I start praying. I ask the Lord, Lord, please, you know, why, you know, help me to be bold and to share my faith with boldness and to not be afraid. And it's not easy. So, you know, we need to cling to the Lord. And, you know, the book of Acts isn't the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles. Amen. Do you agree with me when I say that this morning? You know, without the Holy Spirit, we can't serve God. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's God, and He's the one who guides us and gives us the words to say. Without Him, we can't do anything. And I want to share a quick testimony before we keep going on. Many years ago, my dad was my boss. Isn't that something, Dad? Remember, you're my boss? In Woodbridge, I worked in a warehouse stocking car parts. And my dad was my boss, so I had some leeway to talk to people, I guess. You know, I couldn't get fired, you know. But, you know, one day there was this one guy that I was talking to for a while. His name was Leo. Remember Leo, Dad? Remember Leo? This guy was probably 6'7". He was probably like 350 pounds. Huge man, you know, and I used to talk to him a lot. He loved Star Wars and all that stuff. And, you know, he knew my dad and I were Christians. You know, and like I said, he was the kind of guy like, oh man, I'm not going to share the gospel with that guy. Like, I'm scared. Like, he's big. Like, you know, and I found out he was an atheist too. So on top of that, he was this big guy, you know, had this real deep voice. And one day, you know, he came to our warehouse. He normally doesn't come to our warehouse. And one day he came to our warehouse and he sat down, you know, big guy. And I went up to the front office to do some paperwork. I forgot what I was doing. Maybe I was messing around. I'm sorry, Dad. But I went to the front office, and he was there. And with his big voice, hey, Diego. I'm like, oh, what's up, Leo? How's it going? So you really believe in that Christian stuff? And like, I was like, oh. It's like, yeah, with all my heart, Leo. I believe it. I love Jesus. Oh, man. You got blind faith. Like, why would you believe in that kind of stuff, Diego? Like, really? Like, seriously? And then he went on further. And he goes, Diego, what happens if you were to die today? And you were to find out that there's no God, you know, and you live this life of wasting your time, all these things with God. And, you know, like I said, I was terrified. I didn't know what to say. And it's amazing how the Spirit of God leads you. You know, it has nothing to do with us. It's Him. And I was thinking in my mind, what do I say? How do I respond? You know, and like I said, I was still a young Christian. You know, I think I was probably... You know, my freshman year in college, or at least my senior year, finishing my senior year of high school, going into my freshman year in college, and I was thinking, what do I say to this guy? So I said, Leo, you know what? If I were to die today, and I were to find out that all this God stuff that I believe in was not real, it still wouldn't make a difference. You know, I lived a life worth living, and I wanted to live a life to honor God, and to be respectful towards people. So honestly, Leo, it's not a waste of time for me. Oh, really? Oh. He just like started responding to me. Oh, really, Diego? And I said to him, well, Leo, let me ask you a question now, Leo. And he was like, oh. He's like, you know, and I'm like, Leo, what would happen if you were to die today? And you were to die without Christ? And you were to come before God? You know, Leo, you can't know Christ when you pass from this life if you haven't known Him. what would you do, Leo? Oh, man, you're scaring me. I'm like, well, you know, hey, Leo, this is real. This is real. The God that I worship is not fake. He is real. Amen? The God that we worship this morning is amazing. There's no one like God. There's no one like Jesus. All the leaders of the world come to no comparison to who Jesus is. Amen? We worship a God that lives. We worship a God that is amazing. You know, and Leo got quiet after that conversation. I don't think he ever wanted to talk to me. I don't think we talked again, actually. But you know, you never know the impact you're going to leave in people's lives. I was terrified. But Paul, Apollos, Priscilla and Aquila were not afraid. When they had opportunities to share the love of Jesus, they did so. And they did it with boldness. And so let's keep reading. So we keep reading about Apollos now comes to know the Lord. He understands the scriptures. And he does a great ministry for the Lord. Paul was a servant that was prepared, as we talked about earlier. And in verse 1, let's go to Acts chapter 19 now. Let's start reading at verse 1. And it said, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. So there's Apollos working and being on fire for the Lord, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to them, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Verse 8, and he went into the synagogue, and he spoke boldly for how long? How long did the Apostle Paul speak boldly for? And it said, 3 months. 3 months. Paul did not give up lightly, did he? He didn't. He didn't throw in the towel right away. Paul persevered. He wanted to continue to encourage others. He wanted to continue to dialogue. I was watching a video the other day by a man, I think his name is Jeff Durbin. If you like YouTube, I encourage you to check this individual out. His name is Jeff Durbin. He has a ministry called Apologia Ministries. And this guy goes up to Jehovah Witnesses. He goes up to Mormons. He talks to all sorts of people, and he dialogues with them constantly. Hour. Sometimes some of the videos could last an hour and a half of him talking to Mormon couples, Jewish couples, Jehovah Witness individuals, Muslims. Like he has a passion to talk to people. And that's what Paul was doing here. He spent 3 months reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But some were hard and did not believe, but spoke evil acts of the way before the multitude. He departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continues for how long?
2 years.
2 years. So that all who dwelt in Asia, this last part of scripture blows me away. Who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord. Jesus, Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. All of Asia. You know, there's opportunities for ministry everywhere. You know, our prayers that everyone in Belmar hears the gospel, amen? Everyone in Monmouth County, everyone in New Jersey. And Paul persevered with individuals. Paul didn't throw in the towel. You know, so sometimes it's easier for us. Remember a couple years ago, VBS, there was only like 10, 15 kids that signed up, and we were a bit discouraged. But we persevered as an assembly, didn't we? We continued to trust in the Lord, and this year we had almost 70 kids. You know, we can't give up. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep persevering. You know, and Paul did not give up even on his own brethren, even on those that were of his background and what he was ethnically, you know. And they, you know, think about the heart that Paul had for these brethren of his that didn't know the Lord. He was beaten by them. He was spit by them. He was tortured by them, and yet he still loved them. There's even a passage in Romans where Paul was willing to forfeit his own salvation for his brethren. Remember that verse? You know, we know that that's not possible. No one can do that. But that, just to see the idea of the passion that Paul had for his brethren. He was passionate for them. Are we passionate for those around us? You know, pray for my family. In the last year and a half, things have been getting better for them between me and my siblings. They've been opening up more about the Lord. And sometimes I want to give up. Sometimes you think, oh man, this individual's never going to come to know the Lord. But we can't. We need to have praying hearts, and we need to ask the Lord to help us to have faith. And so the Apostle Paul, in ministry, he understood when he needed to move on. He understood that the people that he was dialoguing with for 3 months, You know, they didn't want to know anything about the scripture. So what did he do? He didn't, you know, get discouraged or throw in the towel or went home. Said, nobody wants to know about the Lord. I'm just going to stay in my house. I'm discouraged. You know, he didn't let those things stop him. He saw these other 12 individuals that he taught about the Holy Spirit. He gathered them and he reasoned daily with them in the school of Tyrannus. And he continued this for 2 years. Discipleship and all these things. So how many of you here have someone that you love that doesn't know the Lord? How many of you here? All of us do. And how many of you have, you don't have to raise your hand, but maybe some of you have thought that, oh man, it's like hopeless. They're never going to do it. Let's not give up. Let's keep persevering. Elizabeth has been persevering with her friend, Yannette. Remember Yannette? I don't know if she's come here. She's come to the chapel picnic one time, and she's been really good friends with us. For the first 2 years, she didn't want to know anything about the gospel. But now, in the last year and a half, she's been opening up a lot about the Lord. And we've been going on Sunday nights to a Spanish service, and Elizabeth got involved with the ladies' ministries over there, Elizabeth invited Yannette, and she went, and she loved it, and she heard the gospel, and now she's more open to the things of the Lord. So, you know, let's persevere. Let's not give up. And in ministry as well, let's keep trying new things. I remember one summer we tried a car wash, and it wasn't so successful, but, you know, we did it again, and then it was great. So, like, you know, we got to keep persevering and doing ministry. You know, and does being prepared mean that we should always have the answer? I'm sorry, I forgot to go forward on this. I'm sorry about that. Does being prepared mean that we should always have the answer? No, you know, there's times we're not going to have the answer when it comes to ministry or when it comes to sharing our faith. One of the first times I shared my faith was with Crew in D.C., and I remember walking around and being terrified of who to share my faith with. And to make a long story short, because I don't have too much time, there was this homeless man that I shared with. And, you know, he tore me apart. You know, he asked me, where can you find in the Bible where it talks about hell? And as a new Christian, I was looking through the Bible and I couldn't find it. He goes, you're new at this, aren't you? And I'm like, yes, sir, I have no idea what I'm doing. He's like, well, I want to talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about. You can keep going. I left. And I was like so discouraged. I walked back to my room. I was like, Lord, I'm never going to do this again. Like, this is horrible. I had the worst experience. And the Spirit of God, you know, like rebuked me, said, Diego, go into my word, study the scriptures. And study like crazy. And that afternoon when I went to my room for about 2-3 hours, I was studying the scriptures and I found like so many verses about hell. And I was like, why couldn't I, you know? But you know, there are times where, you know, we're going to go through situations like that that prepare us more, you know, to teach the word of God and to share our faith. It encourages us, to motivates us. I remember my mother-in-law, who's Jehovah's Witness, when she came to stay with us for a couple times, for, you know, the first time she came, she stayed was like 4 months. And you know, one day she started talking to me about her Jehovah's Witness beliefs, and she tore me apart as well. I didn't know how to respond to a lot of her questions. And instead of feeling defeated, you know, I started studying again Jehovah's Witness doctrine. You know? The next time we had a conversation, I was able to talk to her more about the Lord. So does being prepared mean that we should always have the answer? No. There's going to be times we don't have the answer in ministry, but we need to continue to persevere and not allow those situations to discourage us. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. We as believers need to be prepared in the word of God. And it's unfortunate at times where believers aren't prepared. I was watching a video not too long ago, and I found out there's a cult in Serbia. It's called, I forgot the name, and there's a man who says he's Jesus, and he has about over 1,000 followers in Serbia. You know, and people are following him blindly. You know, one of the questions I was asking myself, where are the believers in this area rebuking this doctrine? You know, and so we have to be prepared in season and out of season to not allow this kind of doctrine to creep in, you know, and not allow this misunderstanding to happen. And so that's an important thing, that we are prepared in the Word of God. You know, Paul was serious about the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that it may be that you may grow up into the salvation, and if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. I'm going to keep going because I have only a minute left. And let us not grow weary of doing good, but for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Let's not give up in ministry, amen? Let's keep persevering. And you know what? I want to share another quick story. Paul and I, for a little while, we were involved with Ministry Accrue at Brookdale Campus. I don't know if all of you remember that time where, you know, we were involved with that. And one summer, we decided to start a Bible study. Remember that, Paul? One summer, we decided to start a Bible study. And the first 5 weeks, guess how many people attended? No one. No one came to the... And about the sixth week, Paul and I, we were sitting there in this room, and we were thinking about, you know what? This might be our last time. We might throw in the towel. And we started praying. Oh, dear Lord, forgive us for our discouragement. You know, we're probably going to give up and not go on further, Lord. And Lord, you show us what you want us to do. And out of nowhere, we heard a little door. And I was like, whoa. I was like, Paul, let's keep praying. Oh, dear Lord, we trust in you, Lord. You know, you can do anything, Lord. The door kept opening. We heard some steps. And we were like, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. And we were getting all excited. And before you knew it, we opened our eyes and someone was there. We were like, whoa, someone came. And this young man looked at us and he said, is this the little Bible study with Crew? And we said, yes. He goes, you know, I saw your flyer. And, you know, I've been struggling in my faith. It's been hard for me to serve the Lord. I got involved with sin in my life and I walked away from God. And I need Christian friends. I don't have anyone. Can I be friends with you guys? And we're like, of course, yep. And Paul and I, we were so excited, and we end up spending the next couple years with this young man. And guess who he was? Does anyone remember this guy? You don't remember him? It's Amelo Zawunka. He came to our chapel sometimes with our youth, and it was Amelo. He sat there in front of us, and we spent the next 3 years just spending every day with Amelo and loving him. And he was so hungry for the Lord. And, you know, could you imagine if the fifth week Paul and I gave up? We can't give up when it comes to ministry. We have to trust in the Lord. And Melo, you know, after that year, I left the ministry and I started doing something else. And Melo started leading the ministry. And that picture right there of us right there, that was the leadership banquet for Brookdale Community College. And he didn't want to go alone. He was very shy. And he's like, Diego, can you come with me? And I'm like, sure, Amelo. Free food? Okay, let's do it. And I went to the banquet, and Amelo was there. And now look at him. Married, has two kids. They're walking faithful with God. They're serving the Lord in Oregon. And I just talked to him the other day, and he's still so in love with Jesus. You know, and you know, it's important that we, as believers, we persevere. You know, we persevere and serve the Lord, and we don't give up. And we, you know, Amel has been a huge encouragement to Paul and I. We were groomsmen in his wedding. His wife is Indian, and the bridesmaids wore Indian clothing, and we wore Nigerian clothing. It was pretty cool. And so, but Paul was a servant that always proclaimed the power of God, and I'll just keep going. And Paul was also passionate for the Lord's people. If we can turn to Acts chapter 17, and we'll close with this. Acts chapter 17, if we could turn there. I mean, Acts chapter 20. And I know this morning, you know, we're saying goodbye temporarily, not all the time. We're saying goodbye to two pretty amazing guys, you know, Jeremy Lang, you know, and Chris Colvin. Two guys that I love. We all love them both, don't we? Praise God for these two young men, right? Amen? Do you agree with me? Two great guys that we're definitely going to miss, and we know that they're going to be great encouragement wherever they go for the Lord. So let's read Acts chapter 20, and let's read that. You know, Paul, not only was he prepared, not only was he paving the way for ministry, not only was he passionate for unbelievers, but he was also passionate for the believers. And Paul, on his missionary journeys, the reason why he did spend a lot of time going in circles was because he was going back to a lot of the churches to encourage them and strengthen them. And when he couldn't go back, when he was imprisoned, he wrote letters to encourage the saints. In the midst of his suffering, he still found time to encourage others. So let's close with this passage. Acts 20, verse 17. Jeremy and Chris, can you guys come up here for a second? Is that all right? Yeah? Jeremy and let's read this as they stand up here with us. All right? I hope I don't make you guys cry. I'm sorry. But Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 17. Let's read the passion that Paul had for these believers. Now, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia and what manner I always lived among you. Verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of Jews. Paul not only was a bold man, but he was also an emotional man. He had tears here in his eyes. How I kept back nothing was helpful, but I proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now that I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. Once again, Paul demonstrating his passion for the believers here. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one else's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. What a great picture, right? He prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Don't worry, we're going to see Jeremy and Chris's face again. But you know, Paul had a passion for the believers. He wept with them, and they wept with him. They kissed him on his neck. And don't worry, I won't kiss you on your neck. You know, but you know, praise God for the fellowship that we can have together. And, you know, may the unity and the love that Paul had with these Ephesian elders, may we, you know, imitate that same kind of thing. And, you know, we're so thankful for these two guys, two humble, great men of God. And so let's close in a word of prayer for them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for what we looked at this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what we can learn from Paul's adventure with many other men and women in the scriptures that we read this morning. We're thankful for how prepared they were, how they were passionate about the brethren, and Father, we're thankful this morning as well. As we think about these things, we think about Chris and Jeremy, how encouraging they've been to us. Lord, I've enjoyed Sunday school with Jeremy so much. You know, he probably doesn't know this, but he taught me a lot of things. His humility, how he wanted to glorify you through his talents. What an encouragement Jeremy has been to us, and we know that he's going to continue to do the same thing at college. And Father, we pray, God, that you would help him to be a light. You would help him to be encourage, Father, that he could find a group of young men and women that love you and that they could grow closer together as they serve you in college years. Also, Lord, we pray for Chris as well, a man of a servant heart who put together that library of ours here so wonderfully, just always ready to serve, always ready to help out, never waiting for someone to ask him to do something. He's just willing to do it. What an encouragement Chris is to us this morning. And we thank you for his heart, and we pray for him as he goes to Emmaus and as he continues to seek you, Father. We pray for his relationship with Yannibel. We pray, God, for wisdom for him. And as he goes off, we pray that these men will be sent off with all our love. And Father, we will continue to pray for them constantly. And we're so thankful for them, Jesus. We love you in Jesus' name.